Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSIMPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSIMPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. Today, I'm joined by Kelly Bidlin, co-host of A Numbers Game, to talk about the NBA Cup Championship. Kelly, how are you doing? I know you're going to this game. Are you excited?
I am, man. I'm pumped. NBA Cup fever. I didn't end up going to any of the games on Saturday, but yes, we'll be at the championship game tonight. Looking forward to it. Had a sizable bet on the Thunder to win it, so that's a little disappointing. But seeing Victor Wembanyama in person is always a great consolation prize.
Yeah, I stared at that Thunder price for like two straight days, and I just ultimately backed off thinking that like there's got to be something here that I'm missing, that everyone in the world is going to take OKC, and I was just scared of when they were going to lose. I didn't know if it was going to be in that semifinals game. I mean, they were double-digit favorites against the Spurs, but that was an awesome performance by San Antonio, and I think a little bit troubling for OKC. Not like the most dooming thing in the world, but just another game where I think that we saw them struggle a little bit with physicality and kind of like a playoff setting. Did it concern you at all as a Thunder backer long term?
No. I actually think that's interesting where you were going there. I was more impressed by San Antonio than I think disappointed in OKC. I mean, this is where everybody who's betting the season long props and everything, like it's a long season. There's games that are gonna. I mean, sure, did it look like they got a little tight kind of down the stretch in the fourth quarter and were, honestly, just affected by Wembanyama's presence? Yeah, 100%. I think Shea was forcing some things offensively, didn't force some things when he probably should have. It wasn't great, but I'm honestly more impressed with what I've seen out of San Antonio, I think, here recently than I was really disappointed in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it was impressive by San Antonio. I should, you know, give all of the flack to OKC and not give the Spurs their credit. The Spurs deserve a ton of credit. I guess it was just, you know, I think it looked a little bit like last postseason and the postseason before with OKC, yes. Where it's the game gets a little bit tighter, a little bit slower. Teams are able to guard Shea a little bit more. Teams are allowed to kind of match the physicality of OKC. I think that brings out a different game for them. That it's still a game that I think that they're favored to win. I think they're the favorites to win the NBA title. I said this yesterday, but I do think it's going to be a little bit closer than other people think, because I said this yesterday as well. Like, I think that we phrased the question of like who's going to win the NBA championship with can anyone beat the Thunder? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's fair to teams like the Nuggets and the Rockets and, you know, maybe the Spurs now, who have, you know, definitely entered the conversation in the West a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you, Zach. I think this is a team, and being one of those people that was in multiple times on the Thunder to win the finals last year at different points in the season, I think it's going to look a lot like last year. I have no doubts about the Thunder cruising through the regular season whatsoever. They're way too deep, way too talented. Really, that depth. I know you hear it all the time about that team, but that's what's going to carry you through a regular season with how quality level players that they have, you know, 1 through 10, 1 through 11, 12. I have no concerns. I am extremely confident they will finish with the best record in the NBA, and it's not even really going to be close. But, Zach, I think that's a great point by you. I think some of the problems that we saw, hurdles that they had in the postseason last season, showed up a little bit in that Spurs game, and I'm with you. And I think that is I'm going to be a guy who's not going to be nearly as aggressive with Thunder futures bets this year, because I think the postseason is a different animal. We saw that last year. This team's going to continue to mature and get better with some of their younger pieces. But, man, I think there's, you know, once you see Shea starting to slow down on the offensive end, they quickly become one of those teams of, okay, who's going to be the next guy that steps up? And Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, I just don't know, are completely there as you can count on them 100% of the time, at least to go get their own shot, create their own shot, right?
Yeah, and I do agree with you. Like, I do think they're going to cruise this regular season. I think that it's still very much within the realm of possibility that they break the record. Like, I don't think that that's out of the question at all. Like, they are just so talented, so deep, and so well coached that I think that there's an intensity they bring as well, you know, every single night, that I do think that there's a very good chance that they still win 74+. It's just once we get to the playoffs where I start to have some doubt.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. This wasn't even the game plan, man. How some NBA Cup pod somehow it becomes a Thunder pod. It's all my fault. Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
We're almost Thunder, we'll talk about all year. We're almost there. I just want to quickly recap last night that we're getting into the NBA Cup. I did have my first losing night in a while, so that was a bit of a bummer. But you know, some of the big takeaways that I noticed, I don't know if what you have, I'll throw it to you as well. But Cooper Flagg becomes the youngest player in NBA history to score 40 points in the game. Mm-hmm. Pushes out now to -190 to win Rookie of the Year. I've been saying for like a week or two now that he just is kind of moving different. Like the way that he is scoring, it's a lot easier. I just think that the game is really slowing down for him. And I think that he's starting to realize just how good he is offensively, which is something I don't even think he realized at Duke. So I think that it's the NBA spacing, you know, the style of play. And I just think that overall, like the work that he's done on his game, I think that he's now starting to separate himself quite a bit in that conversation, which is, you know, fine for me because I did end up getting down on Flag to win, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But I also have, you know, shots on Ace Bailey and Derek Queen a little bit further down the board. I think those are losers. I think if Flag stays healthy, he's going to end up winning.
Yeah, great game by him last night. I'm with you. So the only bet I've made in Rookie of the Year market was Con Knipple early in the season at like 5-1. I'm not sure what I'm going to do here, Zach, but I've been thinking about it for about a week too, where it's, I think he's back to looking like he's going to run away with this award, and -190 might be the best price that you're going to see, the rest of the season. I know it's silly to say, sounds silly to say on December 16th, but we saw the other guys make their case. I think we've seen, you know, the VJ Edge comes of the world drop off just a little bit, just even, I mean, it's so much is going to be asked of Derek Queen to keep up that level of play, Con Knipple as well. I don't know. I think it's going to be Cooper Flagg in the end, and -190 might be the best price you're going to get.
Yeah, I think the problem with Queen is just like, it's two out of every three nights he plays really well, and then that third night, like, he just does absolutely nothing. And it's not necessarily his fault. Like, they just have a really weird roster for him. Like, he's playing next to Zion, who is probably best as a small ball forward. They do like Eve Misi now, and it's just like, you just don't know what you're going to get in terms of role from him every single night. Flagg is going to be the top dog on the perimeter every single night for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great way of putting it, right? These are, despite them playing on crappy teams, Derek Queen and Con Knipple, right? Like, they are not going to be the first guys who get the option, right, offensively, and you're not really going to be the first or second guy usually on those teams. So that creates an extra hurdle. It'd be one thing if they were that dude who was chewing up all the usage, but yeah, I'm with you, man. I think it's looking more and more like Cooper Flagg here.
Yep. All right, moving along. Another impressive performance for me was Pistons beating the Celtics 112-105, a game that I did back Boston. I mentioned the 3-point discrepancy being something that I thought would be a huge, you know, advantage for the Celtics. But, you know, the Pistons actually knocked down 13. The Celtics only made 10, and Detroit did it on fewer attempts. So they actually outshot Boston in what I thought was one of their biggest performances of the season. I mean, they have some really impressive wins, but going into Boston, beating, you know, a Celtics team that has been playing well, I thought that was a very, like, mature playoff style win for this Pistons team, and one where, you know, Cade looked great again down the stretch, and a player that, you know, maybe we don't talk about this, you know, market enough, but looks like he's going to win Clutch Player of the Year.
Yeah. He's jumped out to me a couple times in that one recently too. I know the record, you know, what are we at, 21-5 now for the Pistons, but man, it just feels like they're going to be in a lot of these tight games. Like, I'm with you that he was someone I was looking at like a week ago in that market as well. Not what I usually liked. Yeah, I think I've bet it the past 2 years now. And I, so maybe, you know, take this with a grain of salt. This is my advice, though. I think I like waiting till we get to like late January, early February a little bit. Then you actually have some data to go off of how many clutch games they've played in. You can at least, I think, make a more solid case then, where December 16th, it's still early in the season. Really just how many games are these and situations are these guys going to get themselves into. But it's funny you bring him up because I did think about him in that market as well. Great game. I watched most of that game last night. That was awesome. You put it perfectly. These are two teams that have been ultra impressive in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics playing way better than I was expecting to see of them, at least early in the season. And man, I think with what you can expect if Tatum returns and when he returns for this team, this Boston Celtics team could be real once again in the playoffs. And the Pistons, man, I mean, it's five losses on the season. Cade Cunningham is, you know, on that next tier down below kind of those top level MVP guys right now. He's been awesome. I don't see this Pistons team slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, same. I think that they're deeper than everybody realizes, because I think like LeVert wasn't there, like, you know, most of the season for the start of it. And I think that, you know, Ivy wasn't there. He was, you know, just came back a couple of games ago. So this is a team that was really good to start the year and is only really getting better. I think that they're probably still one piece away, like one good piece away, not just like a, you know, a small player that could acquire at the deadline. But I do think that they're very, very close to being, you know, an NBA Finals, you know, at least runner up. It's like getting to the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference. So definitely a team that I think has been really impressive to start the year. And then the second game on that Peacock doubleheader was also awesome. The Nuggets beat the Rockets in overtime. Definitely a game where I was a little frustrated because I thought Houston got absolutely hosed by the officials. Yeah, and like Ime Udoka was going off both on the court and then in the press conference after. But man, what a poorly officiated game. But I mean, it was still a good game, and it's always impressive when you beat a team without two of your best players. So got to give Denver some love, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was on Rockets' money line, so that sucked too. I mean, I'm always glad when I hear a coach that's actually more mad than I am at the officiating. Like, I think you just get, as an NBA better, you get used to seeing everything on any night, right? But yeah, Udoka post game, like, yeah, you tell him, man. You tell him. That was a disaster. Like, what the hell? I shouldn't have lost that bet. That's right. eBay knows. Yeah, great game, though. And Look, it's Thunder, and then it's Nuggets and Rockets for me in the Western Conference, and then there's another drop down. So it was a great game, fun to watch, and two teams I expect to be there the whole time. And like you said, I think under the radar for people that don't know what's fully going on in Denver and in the NBA, no Aaron Gordon, no Christian Brown there for that team. We've seen they had the 28th rated defense over that time when Gordon was out heading into that game last night. That was part of the reason why I went to back the Rockets. Impressive victory, man, and that's going to be a problem while Aaron Gordon is out. And the more of these type of games that you can squeak out and win while he's out are going to matter in the end.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, the Nuggets not having Brown and Gordon would end up doing them in last night, just because I do think Houston is so good offensively and defensively that they should have been able to pick apart, you know, a defense missing two of the better rotation defenders that they have. But man, that Denver offense late in games when it's just kind of slows down to Joker and Murray is still as good as it ever was. And Murray just has all of his juice back this season. So that's nice to see. That's another reason why I think the Thunder, you know, are beatable, just maybe because of how special those two teams are as well.
Man, I just pulled up the box score and I didn't even look at this, because I think the first thing you get used to running to look at this year with the Rockets is, okay, what'd you do on the glass, right? And it's, you still can't, like, you out-rebounded Denver by 8. Like, you shot 51% from the field, 48% from 3. How do you lose this game? Like, it's just, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, some of the fouls were really bad. Like, I really do think, like, I don't like to be the guy that cries officials, like,
not
very
either.
Often. Maybe my first time doing it since coming on the podcast. I didn't do it when the Suns got hosed against the Lakers, but I do think that the officiating in this game ended up making the difference. I thought Houston should have won this game.
And then, of course, Jokic and Murray combined to go 22 for 26 from the line. So, yeah, just daggers.
Yep. All right, well, we're going to move on to the NBA Cup Finals. But first, want to bet smarter this holiday season? VSiN has the perfect gift for you or the sports bettor in your life. Right now, you could take advantage of our holiday special and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That gives you everything we do, including daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits on DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and weekly wide receiver cornerback matchup edges, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, complete coverage of every major sport through the spring, from football and hoops to March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. Plus, you'll get all of our postseason betting guides and expert picks, including our college football playoff guide and the Super Bowl guide. Don't miss this limited-time holiday special. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and unwrap your betting edge. That's vsin.com/subscribe. All right. NBA Cup Finals time. It's the Spurs taking on the Knicks. This game tips at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. As of right now, recording this at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, December 16th. DraftKings has the Knicks laying 2.5 points. Totals 234.5. Money line price for the Knicks is -142. For the Spurs, it's +120. Kelly, I'll roll it out to you first. What do you have here?
Well, just seeing come down two injuries for tonight. None listed for San Antonio, and then Deuce McBride and Landry Shamet out for the Knicks. So I don't think any huge surprises there, but just wanted to update. I'm on the Knicks money line, Zach. Maybe larger than I'm comfortable with. Honestly, this is I thought this line was very interesting on open. Yeah, you're talking 2, 2.5. We saw this open up at Knicks and Spurs. We saw what Knicks Magic close 4.5, 5. Very tough for me to get to this number on the Spurs compared to where the Magic were at. I know the Magic were without Franz Wagner, but you're talking about the Spurs team working in Wemby. You saw him only play that 20 minutes last game. That's going to be the major question heading into this game, right? How many minutes is Victor Wembanyama going to play? I would expect an increase from last game, Zach. I don't know if you have a better read on this than me. I would expect an increase, but I don't think it's going to be drastic. I do think the Spurs team is, and even just listening to Mitch Johnson the other night, like, they're very aware of what he means for the long term. And while this would be a great thing to win and go out there and say that you accomplished early in your career, I don't think they're willing to push it too hard with him. So I guess I'm going to say 25-ish minutes is probably where I expect him in that range tonight. But it sucks to say, but that's going to be the key, right? If we all knew that ahead of time, I really think you'd have a better idea how to handicap this game completely. But if you're penciling any limited with Victor Wembanyama, which I think we get, this line is just a little off to me. Look, the same record both of these teams enter this game with, but when you go in deep dive into the stats, it's just different. Since November 22nd, Knicks 9-2, plus 12.4 net rating outside of garbage time minutes. That's second in the NBA. They got the third best offense over that time, eighth best defense. It's been incredible, and especially their offense just keeps playing better and better. I thought that was one of the better offensive games that I'd seen out of the Knicks in the semifinals ever since this kind of group had come together. So if they can keep that rolling, I don't know that San Antonio has enough to really stop them. And just to cover it up, San Antonio 7-3 over their last 10, that same time range. What's the difference, though? 7-3 versus 9-2, they're a minus 0.4 net rating. That's middle of the pack net rating over that time. Now, a lot of those games without Victor Wembanyama, though, most of those games. So keep that in mind. But we even saw it the other night. Like, okay, the Spurs, plus 21 with Victor Wembanyama on the court, minus 18 when he's off. Like, there was a massive defensive rating difference with him on and off the court. I think with what the Knicks are going to be able to throw at San Antonio this entire game offensively, it's going to end up being too much.
Yeah, I think you started in the right place, because I wrote that at vsin.com as well. It's just kind of like, strip away everything you think about both these teams. The fact that Wemby's going to play 24, 25 minutes and you're going to get 40 minutes from Brunson, that's just a huge advantage for New York. Yeah. Just playing your best players more time is an advantage. I know that we get on the Knicks, you know, later in the year about, you know, how much they're playing the starters and how much they're playing the bench. It has been a little bit better this year, but in a game like this, in a one-game setting, it's going to be big that they're going to have their best players on the floor for a much longer period of time than Wemby's going to be on the floor. You know, that's absolutely huge. And you mentioned it, like, the Knicks have been really, really strong when you break things down from, like, over the last couple weeks. I mean, over the last 10 games, they are fourth in the NBA in defensive rating. You add that to a team that's already second in the NBA in offensive rating over the course of the entire season, just kind of killing it on both ends of the floor. And I do think that there's some things that they can do to kind of frustrate the Spurs, where, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is one of the best pick and pop bigs in the league. Maybe we'll be able to pull Wemby away from the basket and allow everybody else to just kind of, you know, cook with an empty floor. Nobody, you know, protecting the rim for San Antonio. And then on the other end of the floor, I think, like, Adenobi is like a good small ball defender for Wemby, yeah, just because of his, like, lower body strength and his, like, defensive instincts and all that. I think he's going to be able to do a decent job on him, you know, in a similar way that Caruso did. Like, I know that we have some good highlight moments of Wemby making tough shots over Caruso, but Caruso played an outstanding defensive game in that game. And I think that OG is a very similar defender in a lot of different ways. So I think there's a lot of things the Knicks can do. And I'll also throw on some, like, narrative stuff where it's like, I just kind of think that felt like an NBA Finals game. You know, San Antonio beating OKC, and the way that they celebrated after, there was a relief there about beating the unbeatable team that I think might carry over into something of a letdown performance here. The Knicks are just, like, all business, all veterans, and I think that they're going to show up just kind of ready to go right from the tip. So maybe even Knicks first half is a good look, because if they do throw out that strange Wemby pattern of not playing him in the first quarter, there's a chance New York pounces early.
Yeah, so that, okay, so a couple things there. First quarter, right? Like, if you're listening to this pod, you're a better, like, be on the lookout for news all day. I don't know that they're going to telegraph it, but we saw that last game. He didn't play the entire first quarter. There are first quarter props you can bet. I'm not running to bet him right now, Zach. I would like more confirmation of what I know the plan for Wembanyama is going to be. I don't think we're going to get it before the game, but I'll be on the lookout. I'm just saying everybody else should be too. Now, if they do increase his minutes a little bit, maybe that does push him into the starting lineup, and then he rests a little bit more kind of end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter. I don't really know, but that, I wasn't exactly expecting to see that last game. But if they roll back, there's definitely a chance they roll back out the exact same strategy here tonight. So something I think for bettors to just be aware of. Start there. I will tell you, narrative and matchups. I want to hit both of those. The narrative's fascinating to me for both of these teams, right? Like you just said with the Spurs, is it the letdown spot after you just beat the Thunder? Is that what you're viewing as kind of the Super Bowl moment of the season? You just beat the Thunder and this NBA Cup championship doesn't really matter. Or is it something to build on, right? Is it, hey, we just beat the Thunder. Let's go out there and capture that first semi-significant prize of the Victor Wembanyama era, right, while this team's rolling. That's interesting to me. On the Knicks side of things, it's guys, like, we've been getting killed in the media for years now, like, this group together. Everybody expects more. Just win something. Just win something. Like, again, this isn't an NBA championship or anything, but, like, something to throw on the mantle to say we accomplished something as a group because you haven't done anything yet. And you're finally rolling. I think this is the time where we see them go out there and do it. I will say, I have the Knicks rated pretty significantly higher than where the San Antonio team's at right now, Zach. I do find the matchups fascinating in this game, though. I really do. And if the Knicks lost, I don't think I would be blown away. Just because, I think we could break them all down. I think you did a great job with it, with what we're going to see defensively for San Antonio. Is Cat going to be able to pull Embiid away? I think that opens up things. I think regardless, OG Anunoby is probably the key to this game, offensively and defensively. I think you nailed it. I think we see a lot of him on Wemby tonight, trying to frustrate things. I'm also interested to see how much they deploy Mitchell Robinson kind of on that matchup too, just to – like Wemby, we've seen this before with Wemby, that one of the few things that frustrates him are big ass dudes that he's got to deal with. And if Mitch can get in there and kind of early kind of, bang around with him and make him work on the glass and beat him up on the glass, I think that could help them long term in that game. But I think, yes, I think you're going to see OG picking him up on the perimeter a lot. I think the other side of the ball is fascinating too. You know, can Brunson continue to cook? Can you see a Stephon Castle kind of significant defensive game? You know, are you going to get that out of him? I think there is that opportunity tonight. I also think it's just interesting when you talk about players that are so completely different in size when it comes to Brunson and Wemby, right? Like, every inch you're shorter, the more Wembanyama's height is going to be able to affect everything that you do offensively. So you need, like we were talking about, Cat to pull him away, right? Create space. I think all of that is beyond fascinating tonight. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I think the one thing with Castle is, like, for as good of a defender as he is, and, like, he is awesome. Like, I've compared him to Drew Holiday, like, a million times. Like, the physicality and, like, the in-your-face basketball that he plays, very, very similar to him. I do think that, like, savvy, like, really good footwork players have given him trouble, just, like, getting him into foul trouble. I watched it with Booker when the Suns played them. Like, he was just drawing a ton of fouls by being a little patient and stuff. And, like, there's nobody more patient with better footwork than Brunson. So you can get him off balance, find ways to score against him, find ways to get to the line. I'm not really concerned about Brunson getting his offensively in this game, especially when you kind of break things down to how he's played without McBride. Like, since his, like, role has been increased, his minutes have been increased, he's averaging, like, 36 points per game in the games he's played without McBride. So I really do think he's going to get it going here. But it is going to be interesting to see how everybody else looks defensively for the Knicks, because, like, first, you know, they have, like, really good individual defenders, but sometimes they can struggle to guard the three ball. If the Spurs are knocking down shots, it's going to be a good game. And I'm with you. Like, it wouldn't shock me if, you know, San Antonio wins. Like, I don't have that much of a difference between these teams, and the Spurs are very, very talented. But, you know, looking at all the numbers, looking at the narratives, and looking at Wemby's injury, it does just seem like a really good spot to kind of load up on the Knicks. I mean, you look at just, like, the season-long numbers. Like, Knicks are better in terms of adjusted offensive rating and adjusted defensive rating, so better on both ends of the floor. And, yeah, like I said before, they're just going to have their best players out there. Wemby's probably going to play 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I think the one thing I'm concerned about, I guess from a Knicks backing standpoint, is the, I mean, if the guards continue to combine for 60 points or whatever, the trio of guards on San Antonio, like, that's going to be tough to, I mean, if that can't, yeah. what does that happen? Two games in a row now, the NBA Cup? Like, if those three keep playing like that, yeah, I think it's gonna give the Knicks some problems. I guess I'm just not expecting them to be able to do that all season long. I think all three of them are extremely talented, but yeah, to keep seeing that night after night would be a little shocking.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, another swing player for this game is probably Josh Hart, because teams do put, like, their bigs on him and just, like, let him shoot threes or let him drive to the basket, whatever it is, and he's going to have to be making threes if he wants to drive to the basket. So I'd say watching out for Josh Hart's three-point shooting is going to be something to keep an eye on here. And I should mention before we just, you know, move on, but before we end this, but I do have Mikal Bridges to go over 14.5 points at -110, which is, it's another one where, like, I broke down, you know, games played with Jalen Brunson and without Deuce McBride, because that's the rotation we're seeing right now. It's tightened up. Everyone's playing a little bit more, and Bridges has scored at least 15 points in all five of those games, averaging a little bit closer to 19. And I do see this being a game where he'll draw one of the better of the matchups, you know, for the Knicks. Like, they don't have enough good defenders in that rotation to put somebody on everybody. And I think it'll be him going to work against a weaker defender, even if it's like Vassell, who I think did a really good job on SGA last game. It's a different matchup against Bridges. It's just a really, you know, sneaky cutter, very quick player off the ball. Like, David, this is a team that struggles a little bit with dribble handoffs and off ball screens, and the Knicks can run a lot of that for Bridges.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think that is, I think for offensively, I think it's the guards for San Antonio. I think it's the wings for New York. How much can Hart, Bridges, and OG Anunoby give you? Because I think they're going to, Brunson is going to distract enough, right? If we talk about Cat bringing out Wemby, I think there's going to be the space there. Those guys have to dominate. They should. They should. They're getting paid enough. They're all better than what their counterparts on the other side. So that is a part of the game I'm leaning on. I like that prop play.
Awesome. And I did want to talk some futures. We've gotten a little bit longer than we were supposed to with the show. It's only one game, so really should keep it around 30 minutes. So I won't ask you too much about this, but have you added anything in the last couple of weeks, or is there anything that you're keeping your eye on right now? I'm still a little fascinated by both most improved player and defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, nothing else that I've added. Austin Reeves most improved was the last thing. I brought this up on the air yesterday, though. I think he's, if I was currently looking at the market, he's probably still the guy I'd want to play. But with him being out, Zach, I think you can just wait and let this number drift a little bit and then jump in if you want. If you're still interested in playing him, defensive player of the year. Like, help me out here, bro. Like, I think this is like the second or third time you and I have talked about this, but, like, I think it's such flimsy favorites at the top. I just don't know where the bet is on the board. I think we've had the same conversation three times. I bet Jalen Suggs early in the year, like 150-1. He's not going to play enough games now, it looks like, to qualify, so don't go do that. But, like, Jets +150, like, the man could go down with an injury at any time and, like, be ruled out of this by the end of the year. Wemby's +350. It's going to be a miracle if he hits the number of games played that he needs to qualify for this award. Like, I don't know, man. Like, where do you think the bet is right now? Because I think there's value beyond those top two names.
Yeah, I'll just quickly throw out for most improved player. Like, I feel like I missed the boat on Denny, and now I'm a little bit bummed. And I have Reeves as well. You know, thanks to Drew Didsik, he did a really good spot on your show, you know, kind of profiling why he was a good pick. And I ended up jumping on that and then giving it out the next day here. But I think the Keyonte George is the player that I'd be looking to add right now, just because he's been absolutely scorching over the last couple of weeks now. So I think that he's got a chance there. I think that if you missed out when I gave that out at 25-1, I think that even at the number now, it's playable. But there is a big drop off after George, and it's definitely looking like it is Denny's award if he plays well the rest of the season. Defensive player of the year, it's really tough. I think that you were onto something when we talked about Bam, because, you know, I think if you break down, like, defensive EPM this year, like, the best non-Thunder player and the best non-Wembanyama player, which is actually a larger qualifier than you would think, because OKC has, like, seven guys in the top 10 for defensive EPM. But that is Bam right after Nemias Keita, who I don't think is going to win the award. So I think that Bam's got a really good kind of resume for it, and I do think that that's very interesting at +800. I think that the other guy that's worth a look is Rudy Gobert, which it's, like, so boring, and I think so many people hate him that it might be impossible for him to win. But like I was looking the other day, like he's been one of the best defenders in isolation this season. He's got a really good, you know, defensive EPM, not as good as it was when he was in his prime, not as good as it was when he won Defensive Player of the Year, you know, 2 years ago, but like still a really good candidacy for a year where they're, it's, you know, kind of wide open.
Yeah, I keep going back to that too. Unfortunately, like I think Gobert and Draymond are going to be there at the end of the year. I think Bam, Draymond, Gobert are going to be there at the end of the year, and I don't know if I think people are probably getting sick of hearing about that, but I think all three of them are going to be. I really wish Bam would eventually get recognized for his play, but I always wonder about the counting stats. Are they going to be there? They seem to affect the voting every single year with him, and I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to wind up with him. Like I wouldn't. I liked that bet at a longer number, 8-1. I'm not really sold on making that.
Yeah, I think that's fair, especially like with the market the way that it is right now. It is wide open. Like there's still players like way down the list that can find their way up. So it's,
and then there's guys who can cross off too, right? Like I don't like, or like you can at least, like I'm not betting Evan Mobley right now, right?
That's 22-1. Like I was just gonna say that, but it's like just a casual voter, like know that is like the way we do. I don't know. Like it's just it's weird to see him at 7 in a year that they're struggling defensively and struggling to win games, and he has been a big part of that. Like he has not been as good as he was last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to come up with names on the spot right here. Isaiah Thomson is still interesting to me too. I know I brought him up last time, like 30-1. I don't know if he can like, it's always tougher with perimeter guys than bigs. Like I know, but like, I think he's the defensive name on that team that would get a lot of the credit. He's way up there in the advanced stats too. He interests me a bit, man. You're right. And then there's just a million Thunder players. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a fun one to keep monitoring because I do think there's a chance that like in a week or two, we see someone that it's kind of built up a decent case that was in the 100-1 range. And like all of a sudden we're talking about them.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. 100. And that's what I'm saying, right? Like there's a bet out there. I just wish I could tell you who it is. I really wish I could tell you who it is. If I had to make a bet right now, it'd be Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. I think that's where I am too. All right, well, we're going to recap our best bets for tonight. But first, I just want to say, if you think you can read matchups, rotations, and usage, prove it on better picks. Pick more or less on player stat lines and turn your basketball analysis into real money. Right now, use code VSINPOD to get $10 free, no deposit needed. Make 2 sharp picks and you can win up to 1,000x your entry. Live in 33 states, download better and get in the game. I talk about player props all the time on this show. I think that grabbing some, you know, $10 free without having to put anything down is a really good move, especially when you get the multipliers and maybe you can hit like some crazy payout. I don't know. I talk about props so much that going to a prop heavy website sounds like a really good idea.
And free rolls are great. Love free rolls. Free rolls are the best. There you go.
I love them. All right. Well, I'm playing the Knicks on the money line of this game, and I got it at minus 136 because I took it last night. I believe a little bit later than you took it, so you got a better price than me. And I'm also taking Mikal Bridges over 14.5 points at minus 110.
Yeah, I'm on Knicks money line. I guess I'm expecting to see some Knicks money here today, but I think it would be a bet at 2.5 for me, Zach. It would be honestly a bet anywhere out to like 4, 4.5 for me for the Knicks.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that if you can't get it at minus 140 or better on the money line, I would then look to 2.5 or 3.
Me too.
If you have to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that that's the right call. And I didn't even mention, like, and I don't know if you felt this way as well, but I think that the Knicks had the crowd in that game against the Magic. And, like, there were loud, let's go Knicks, chants towards the end of that game. I would not be surprised if it's very, very pro-Knicks in there just because of the amount of, I believe, transplants to probably live in Vegas just like they do live out here.
There's just Knicks fans everywhere, man. Yeah, come on, you know Knicks that. Yeah. There's not exactly Spurs fans everywhere. I think there'll be a lot of curious Victor Wembanyama onlookers at this game. But, yeah, I think the fans will be split a little bit more towards the Knicks.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to let Kelly run to a numbers game. I'm going to be joining him Thursday on the show. Kelly won't be back with us next Tuesday because it is a holiday week, and we'll talk a little bit later this week about the schedule for next week. But good luck to everyone with your bets tonight. I'm excited for this game, and please join us for the Wednesday episode of Hardwood Handicappers.